One moment of mulligan in your rugby career. What would it be?
Broke two clubs that day.
Oh, really?
Yes, my first time.
And then on the 17th, I actually went with a golf cart into the bunker.
We are so privileged this morning, switching over to English, like we said, to have Rudy Page and John de Jong with us this morning. What an honour. Boys, thank you so much.
No, pleasure.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us. We've obviously been following and looking at the... Because we are kind of wannabe golfers, trying to play the game. But yeah, you guys are doing like a job and you've got like a energy here. So we're super excited here to spend some time together.
Thank you so much. Arthi?
Very, very excited for this episode.
Thanks.
I've been a massive Stormers. I'm not...
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
Been a massive Stormers supporter all my life. If you told me 5 years ago I'd sit across the table speaking... With this guy, I would say, hit me now.
There's Afrikaans saying, elke okie is a folkie.
That is okay.
But I'm the Man United folkie. Yeah?
And I spiced it up today.
You like Man United, I like blue. I like blue. Stormers blue, Chelsea blue.
Okay. Okay.
But Arthur, I just want to quickly bust you a little bit more, because I'm glad that you did say what you just said. Mm. But this man, before this morning, he's like, okay, rugby jerseys. We're going to buy the rugby jerseys. So I've got rugby jerseys coming up. And he's like, no, you have to be organic. Because I'm a shark, guys. I mean, sorry. I apologize for that.
Yeah, I also wouldn't want to wear a shark jersey at the moment. Yeah. So I understand.
No, you got to be loyal.
And boys, I know rugby is all around you. It's in your DNA. But forgive us today that we're going to go break into the golf a little bit as well. But let's just start with... After this relationship, I mean, you guys just had a fitting with him?
No, actually...
We need this. We need a fitting, yeah.
So we're going to organize a fitting for them. Okay. We did mention it, but a corner actually messaged me and said they were looking for a round of golf.
Oh, lovely.
So I was also a potter feeder when I said, these guys are coming. Okay, I'll organize something chopped up for you. And then with an intention,
very quick,
5 minutes. Mm. And then I thought, okay, here's my opportunity. They've got amazing podcasts. Let me just go approach them when they check in. If they say no, they say no. If they say yes, great. And now we're sitting across the table as friends.
Arthur made me look like a superstar when I told you one. It's sorted, I've got you. Obviously, I'm happy finally Akona finally replied to my messages.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
We appreciate taking the effort. And so guys, let's just quickly talk just a little bit of intro. On each one of you, it's not normally two on two, it's normally two on one. So today it's an equal footing. But Jean, let's start with you. Just take us a little bit, I know you're from Cape Town, but everybody knows who you are, but if you don't mind, currently, you retired from rugby at the end of last year.
Yes.
Springbok player, shark player, I'm right.
In my dreams, yeah.
I'd come out of retirement.
But Stormers is in your DNA.
Yeah.
We've got the weekend coming up, but just tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
To start off, I'm from Wellington. I was born and raised in Wellington. You know, I started playing the games since the 7, 8 years old, and ever since then I wanted to become a professional rugby player. Stormers was obviously my team, you know, my role model was obviously Robbie Fleck growing up, and going to a small school, I had friends that liked the game, and the game just started, you know, growing into myself, and I'm enjoying it every day. And then after school, my mom asked me, listen, what do you want to do now? I said, I want to become a professional rugby player. So, and she was like, Juan, come on. There's no money in the rugby. It's going to be a long process in that,
And money in rugby,
Now I understand. There's a little bit, But went straight to a rugby academy where I was for 3 years. And I enjoyed it. I worked with incredible coaches. And because of the rugby academy, I actually set myself up to become a professional. So it's always been a tough journey as well. Even my school days, I didn't play like your big Krenwijk and your Grand Comos and stuff. Only after school, I started playing Krenwijk for Boerland, actually. Made the SA schools team. Got an opportunity to go to Western Province Academy, Western Province under 19. And then career just kick-started early. And as a young age, from 19 years old, you know, playing Western Province under 19. The following year, SA schools, Varsity Cup, straight into the Stormers squad. 2 years later, playing Springboks in 2010. So, throughout that journey, it was... actually happened very quickly, becoming a Springbok. But I had like injuries as well. Massive injuries. I was out for a year throughout 18, 19 years old. And then So it was a massive challenge, but I'm blessed to sit here today, you know, playing this game for 16, 17 years. And the rugby, the game actually gave me a lot, you know. Gave me the opportunity to go into the plane for the first time. Gave me the opportunity to go overseas for the first time. All these small little things. I must say, yeah, it gave me a lack of car as well, you know, a Range Rover here and there. But yeah, I'm blessed for this game that it gave me. And then I'm super excited just for the next chapter. Yeah.
So just before I go over to Mr. Scrumhoff over here. You're now retired.
He's got a massive story, this one.
You're now retired. It's recently retired. What does it feel like?
I must say it's different. Obviously, Rudy has been retired like a year before me. He gave me bad advice. He said that I sit at home and eat the blue packet of Doritos. Not the advice you kind of want. But it was enjoyable. I was blessed enough. You know, retirement for everyone is tough. You can speak to a lot of rugby players. It's tough to retire. I mean, Paige can jump on there as well. Because you need to make an adjustment. Not everyone has the platform to just get this airplane and have a soft landing. Some rugby players come in hard, you know, and it comes to planning. And when I retired at the end of last year, end of 2023, I had an opportunity to join SAS Rugby, Stellenbosch Academy of Sport, and blessed enough to work with incredible coaches like Hein Krik, Aaron Schubert, Neil de Kock. We've got 54 kids that we're looking after, you know, the future of tomorrow. So I'm giving back in that aspect. So I'm an assistant coach with them, the running the attack for them. It's a different department because obviously as a 13, as an outside centre, you do a lot of defence, but now doing a little bit of attack is something lekker. But I'm excited for a new journey. And it's lekker to wake up on a Sunday and you're not like that tight. Mm-hmm. Your back is not tight. Your hand is not tight after a big game. But yeah, exciting times now.
Actually, I don't want to go too much into it, but I can imagine, you know, we all think of retirement as when you get to an age of work. You've got your pension, you know, and you take it.
But it's intimidating.
Yeah, and at a young age, you know, because you both are still young. You know
pretty
what I mean?
Much, yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
Bad,
eh? You're early and mid
30s.
Exactly. No, I want to say 40, if you don't mind. Okay. But it is, I mean, I can just imagine, you know, you've got this massive part of your life, you know, like you say, for 60, and it actually started before that. And then all of a sudden, so it must feel quite like, what is my contribution next?
Yeah, it's pretty much nervous. And I must say the last year in my career, I was not nervous. You kind of fall into a role where you have to give back.
Yeah.
Because you've got all this experience for 15, 16 years. And now the youngsters are coming through. Now all of a sudden, you're not playing maybe for the Stormers, you're playing Curry Cup. But while you're in that bubble, what can you give back? You know, these guys you're playing with that probably looked up to you. And when, like I look up to Robbie Flick when I was there. Yeah. Couple decades ago, and just to give back, leave something with them, something they can take forward to. Hopefully, that what you left with them can make them a springbok. So, like all the time, my whole philosophy is always to be the best where you are. Wherever God puts you, try to be the best. If that is being on the bench, if that is being, you know, not being in a squad or non-playing squad or helping the kit man or the manager, just try the best you can be in that situation. Because at the end of the day, if you have peace with that, it makes life easier for you because then you don't have to be like, oh, I'm the best. I want to be there. Why am I not? So once you have that mindset, and that kind of helped me just to make sure that I leave the Western Province junior ranks and coaching under 19s, helping with the Curry Cup in a better place moving forward. Because I always say in the rugby, it's not you get the jersey, but it's how you leave that jersey in a better place for the next one to pick it up.
John, I mean, it's just incredible. We have seen it ourselves, and I mentioned in the beginning the humbleness. You know, the way that you guys just said yes to come on here, it's exceptional humbleness. You guys have a busy schedule. You've got a lot of people to always speak to. Yeah. You've got a wide network, and you take time to come and sit with these two useless on our show, and it's inspiring. Mm. And people learn from humbleness. They don't learn from abrasive and cockiness. You know, that's not how you transfer inspiration and motivation to somebody else. Mm. Rudy?
Yes.
Oh, that's a story and a half. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to this as well.
Thanks,
Steve. So, Rudy, just tell us a little bit about your journey. And in the beginning, guys, what we do is, I mean, I've got your entire history here in front of me, but we always find you tell it better yourself. Mm. So tell us your history and...
My history? Born in a small town, Heidelberg.
Moerseklein.
Yeah.
You're going to drive her where he tells
you. So, there's
not... Only you, Rudy.
Definitely not me. But even though driving is my best aspect of my life.
I agree.
But let me get back to my story. Born in Heidelberg. Listen, I grew up in a town that is absolutely fanatical about rugby. That's the one thing that works in a town.
Yes.
From a youngster, went to my dad's games. He played flyer for the first team. Mm. Took on the sand back in the day. Was in a tee. Sand, he kicks it, or whatever.
Finger.
Yes, all of that. So that's where rugby started for me. So I really grew up in a house where rugby, waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, watching Super Rugby games, watching Springbok games. That was my childhood. Tackling each other on the lawn outside, playing against bigger kids. So rugby was honestly just part of my life in a very positive way. I think my family, myself, we loved the game for all the right reasons. It gave you a platform to compete. Doesn't matter where you come from. I think that is what best thing I love about rugby. Rugby evens the playing field. Rugby just gives you such a good opportunity to express yourself. And that's what I like about rugby. And throughout my younger days, so I played under 13 Craven Week for SVDA. And then the first phone call came from Otaniqua. They came to visit my mom's house and dad's house, and I was lying on the floor listening to what they got to offer me and listening to the courses, and they're telling about all these guys that are coming to Otaniqua and how does the sport work and everything. And that's actually when, at that time, I didn't think I'm going to become a professional. I just thought, yes, I'm going to go to a school where there's a gym. Mm. Where at the time I was maybe better at cricket than rugby, so I was like, yes, I'm going to play on a proper pitch. I'm going to be able to train in nets. I was like so excited to just have these facilities and see, yes, what we're going to play against. Perelgum, we're going to play against the best schools. Everyone that was back in the day in the YIP. The burger at school. Every Monday the YIP comes out and you read, oh, that's like a big school. And that was the first thing that came into my mind. I was like, yo, I'm going to go to a school that I'm going to compete. I didn't think, yeah, I need to be good. I was just like, oh, I'm going to get on a bus. We're going to get tracksuits. We're going to have this. We're going to have X, Y, Z. And throughout Otaniqua, I mean, it's a fantastic school. I learned really good disciplines. I learned how to be on time. I learned what the artworks take. I learned how to meet people, how to interact with people, how to speak confidently in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So my 5 years in my high school actually taught me so much about what I needed in rugby and in life to succeed. And for that, I will always be grateful for. And then I played cricket, rugby, every age group, every provincial side. Really blessed. My cricket at the end kind of fell away. Wasn't good enough to, and I just decided to take rugby and give it a full go. And then my matric year, the Lions came and gave me my offer. And that was probably the biggest decision of my life at the time. Parents thought I should take the offer. I wanted to stay with my friends at Otaniqua. You know, when you got have a girlfriend and you best friends. My dad just said, listen, comfort zone, like in the courses, you've got all of your besties with you. My dad said, listen here, boy, the Johannesburg option is the one we're not going to miss. We live in SVDA where it's not a big union. You never know when another opportunity, you might be injured when you go to Craven Week, whatever the case might be. And then on the plane with a lot of tears. Crying. I think I cried for 3 weeks straight in Joburg. Weeks straight. I couldn't understand how people have such expensive cars around.
It's a big adjustment.
Got your matric, probably half of my matric class had their own cars. Parked outside the school. I was like,
what the hell's going
is
on?
Is this?
Yeah.
Couldn't understand. Every weekend when I go to their houses, it's like these mansions. And the first, the first 3 months, such an adjustment. And then after I've adjusted, I think I really came to love Johannesburg. Loved playing for the Lions. I played Craven Week. I was captain of the Craven Week side, was captain of SA School side. Played Lions under 19 2 years. Lions under 21 2 years. I think that was my start and my background in rugby. A lot of challenges that I had to overcome. I was very small. As you guys can see. At the time, it wasn't like it's now in today's way. Small is accepted.
Yeah. 100%.
Small is accepted now.
I mean, look at Gio Aplom.
The narrative has definitely changed. Back then, it was, they looked at me and they told me, listen, you're benching 16 in the trick here. Like, They have to. What took me 3 months where the Lions said I'm not allowed to play rugby. I had to physically
jump.
It was to jump. Yeah. Like I had to get bigger. I had to get stronger. So I had to overcome a lot of challenges. And I think that made me really strong up here. It made me, it gave me a lining, as I always describe it.
Yeah.
I've got a lining to handle disappointment. And that, I think that sums up my career.
Yeah.
I'm not going to elaborate on the rest and how I play for the Bulls and for the Bucks, but I think that part of my life was me crucial, and I think that sums me up, just what type of player I was and what type of person I am.
Listen, and that's what we say to ourselves. We, you know, you guys are, you know, you talk about rugby in your own lives, and people are engaged with that quite a bit. So it's good today we go on to a different subject. But just quickly on the community that you came from, and then, you know, coming into the big city lights, like you say, what was that transition like? And did the people accept, did they embrace?
I think my first time I got to Joburg, being able to conversate in English was extremely difficult.
Okay.
From a confidence point of view. Obviously, in school, you do English and you can do comprehension. Yeah, you can. But if I physically had to talk to Arthur, I didn't have the confidence.
100%.
And I hope there's no English. Got to Joburg the first time. Yes, and I'm mixing with Saints kids and St. John's kids at trials and in the team. And I'm captain of this team, and my confidence got tested, man. So that was extremely difficult. Like, honestly, I had to make sure that I got rid of things that I cared so much about what people thought of me and how people perceived me, which was
dangerous place.
A very difficult place. And I obviously, slowly but surely, I kind of cut away on that. Like, you are who you are.
Yeah.
It's not up to you to like yourself. If they like you, if they don't like you, it's... And once I've realized that and I've accepted my English, obviously... grew, my confidence grew, and I think Joburg is still in today's lifestyle has a really good soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned off record, you can easily move back to Pretoria.
He loves it, and I don't know what he loves, but he loves it.
Me too. You see, I can't think of living in Cape Town. It's just too cliquey for me. You know, I'm a man's man. I guess a man's man.
So much to do in Cape Town, man.
There's so much to do. Let's be honest, like, Cape Town's amazing place to do things. Like, I, on weekends, don't know what to do with myself sometimes. In Cape Town, you can go to the beach, you can go to the wine farms, you can go to waterfront.
For the ones that are not wrapped by their wives, we play golf. You just don't have that option.
Listen, let's have a podcast on Sunday. I'm in the golf industry every single day. I see guys break some balls every single day. I need to switch off as well.
You're like a dentist.
I want to watch Man United lose.
Agree.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
but I'd like to find out, and when we ask these questions, it's not just so we can fill the gaps, but what was your favourite, John? I'll just ask you first, and Rudy can think about it, but what was your most memorable time for you in rugby?
Most memorable time? Yo, there's so much. I've got memories on the field, but I must say the memories off the field are the one that sticks with me. A lot of those games, I mean, I've played a lot of games, but you can't remember the games. You remember the brotherhood. You remember the culture of the families, the guys that you still talk to today, you know, memories that you've built that you're going to talk about for decades to come. And that's the thing that actually for all the young rugby players, you know, that's the memories you're going to take when the curtains come down in your career. And I must say I was blessed enough to play with awesome players. I was blessed enough to play with legends of the game, some very good coaches. I've learned a lot through rugby, but yeah, like I said, so many memories. So the best actually memory for me was actually making the Rugby World Cup squad, 2011.
2011, yeah.
And I was like 21 years old, and I'm like, I'm looking around, and it's like Brian Abana and Scott Burger and Jacques Fury and John de Villiers and all these boys. And that was for me the pinnacle. Obviously, I scored a couple of good tries. I've been in finals of Curry Cups and Super Rugby. But making the World Cup squad and going to the Rugby World Cup was something special. I must tell you the story as well, you know, building up to the Rugby World Cup. Just the memories we had, like going to safaris and stuff, you know, having those times, the one-on-one times and those photos and stuff and those videos is the stuff that you actually kind of, when you think about your career, back in your career, it's about those memories, which will take forever.
I also want to ask personal questions. You always used to love celebrating tries.
When I was younger, it was my late 20s. I'm a bit tight now. Well, I can't do the Gangnam Style anymore. Well, yeah, that's a liquor part, man. It's about enjoying it.
Yeah, 100%, which is fun.
That's where rugby goes. And especially, I like celebrating, especially when you play the Lions and the Rudy's playing. But yeah, it's good memories. And then, yeah, it's still on YouTube. Hopefully I can take it out before my boy gets big enough to see it. But yeah, it's good memories. So, yeah.
But you know, for the youngsters that are listening, it's so incredible that the rugby career, and it's the coaches, the people that you play with, it shapes you as who you are, and how much you learn and from each other, and the mistakes you make together.
Because
when you're that young, you know, when we're 20s, we have a very different mindset to when we're in our 30s. I'll go even up to the 40s. But it's incredible that you are sort of vulnerable and you're growing up with everybody. So it has to be a very accommodating, open-minded place.
Yeah. It shapes you positive and negative. 100%. Because I remember when I was at the Institute, some coaches will say, you will never become a Springbok, because I wanted to play centre, and centre was the thing that I wanted to play. But at the time, I was like 75 kgs, 80 kgs.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in a centre environment, these days it was like 100 kgs. Yeah. You're playing these big boys. And like those type of things are at the back of your mind. I'm like, I can prove you wrong. And because of those words, it actually puts me here today, you know, achieving the things that I have achieved. So some will be negative, but that's how you take it. Some will be positive, and how you push forward. If you get positive, you must also take it with a pinch of salt as well, because you can't just boost yourself all the time. You know, you need to have that balance. Keep working hard. Keep going back, like they say, back to your drawing board. And throughout my journey, I was just blessed enough just to have that mindset. It's all about this game is mental. And you go, especially when you're 18, 19 years old, you look at other players like, check these calves, he's so fast, those type of things. But at the end of the day, I taught myself actually to focus on yourself. Because at the end of the day, it's up to me. You can't look at other people and be like, geez, I wish I had bigger calves to play at center. I wish I had this type of pace. So, like I said, there's positives and negatives to both, especially when it comes to mentorship, but it's just how you take it, because it's a mental game. It's a massive, massive mental game.
Massive part of it. Mm. I mean, we'll go into the golf side too, as you hopefully know by now. Yeah. That's a whole mental challenge on its own.
I don't have a lot of good memories in golf, but yeah.
And Rudy, yourself?
Memories? Oh, my gosh. A lot. I think for me, it's about the friendships I've made.
Yeah.
I think that is probably the best thing that rugby's given me. I've made a hell of a lot of good friends, honestly. Off the field, whether you have disappointment or you have really high achievements at the time, becoming a Springbok, or it's when you're in your early 20s and John Mitchell doesn't select you and you have to do the walk of shame, as they used to call it back in the day. Yeah. The guys are not selected, then you walk out of the team announcement would have been. And that memories and those friendships you make along the way, that is the best part about rugby. Mm. By a country, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sitting in the jacuzzi after a game. Maybe you've lost it in Melbourne and it's just the four of us.
Yeah.
Chatting for 2 hours in the jacuzzi about just why did we lose? How are we going to fix this? That for me is the best part about rugby. And it's the other way around as well. If you beat, let's say, the Stormers or the Crusaders, really good sides. And you sit there with a beer after a game.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting and talking to each other with a beer and connecting and really just sharing that experience at the time.
Yeah.
That is the best part about rugby. From a playing point of view, memories, I think there's one game that stood out for me is, I think it was in 2011. I came back from a hamstring repair. So I snapped all three hamstrings completely off the tendon, off the bone. And the doctors, everybody was quite skeptical about me playing again.
Yeah.
And being able to play at a level that I was before I got injured. And the game, I think it was 11 or 12 months that I played for the Lions. I think that game was quite significant because I had to prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of opinions wrong, a lot of doubters. Probably myself and my family at the time were quite, will I be able to play again? My speed was down. And that game has always stood out. Not because it was at Ellis Park, it was packed. It was actually at an empty Joburg Stadium, to be 100% honest. Played against, I think, the Blues development side. came across touring, played against them in a warm-up game, and I came through unscathed. And then it kind of just gave me, hey, it's all right. I can play again the game that I love. Yeah. I'll be fine. Whatever they said is not true. So that game stood out to me. And I think there's one more game that stood out. It was my first start for the Springboks at Loftus with Mane Steyn. Reason for that is I'm a Blue Bulls since a childhood. Yeah. I've always supported the Bulls, always loved Loftus, grew up loving Mane as well. Then I got to be his teammate at the Bulls, and then eventually when I played for the Box, now I'm starting with Mane and my fly up as well. Yes. So that game was one of those games that I was like, yes, you know.
It all comes together.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I cried during the national anthem.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's good. I'm definitely a crier though.
Yeah.
My tears are not far. Good news, bad news.
I'm with you.
I cry. So that is the rugby game that stood out by a mile. And then obviously the first one was the injury one that I came back with, and then from my show I've ticked a lot of boxes, and like you said, it come full circle now. Starting against Australia at Loftus with Mane was just a cherry on top. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys sharing that with us. You know, and the thing is, what I just, you know, we always say it, but when I just listen to you guys, honestly, it's just, we always say, our kids, what are they going to go through? What are they going to... But this is the type of thing. You must just go into it, and it will shape you. Yeah. You'll get your lows, you'll get your highs. Yeah, it's going to shape you along the way. And even people that are arseholes to you, I appreciate that. Because they also influence me. They also make me see the world sometimes a little bit differently. If everybody just treated you with this absolute love and never, ever upset you, I don't think it shapes you too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tough times do
make you stronger.
It's not like going through it.
Yeah,
like when you're going through those times, it's an absolute mess. Yeah. Asking yourself questions, why? And then in hindsight, if you fast forward, then you're like, okay, I needed to be stronger because now I'm going to be a Springbok. Or I needed to learn how to kick because now I need it wherever. So, yeah, the tough times is... And not a necessity. I don't want to call it that.
Yes. Yeah, but it shapes you.
Even if you grew up in like a boarding school environment, you know, they had their traditions. You know, if you look at it in today's world, it could look at as being bullying. It's not bullying. It's just traditional that every school goes through and does.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a level, but there's a
tradition. Like when you're in grade 8 and you go through it, you know, you're like, yes, but this is tough. And then you go in grade 9 and grade 10, and you know what? This actually got me to where I'm supposed to be. You know,
this is great.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, for me, it's standard. Now it's triple north and north and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we're still getting to those days now.
But yeah, for the youngsters as well, it's okay to be scared, because you're scared when you play your first gap. You're nervous, and to be nervous and scared, it's fine. I mean, when I was announced captain, I was scared, you know. When they announced me in the Springbok squad for the first time, you're scared. But it's just about being excitement. Don't let it scare, when you're scared, make you a negative, but gives you that excitement to, you know, to achieve new things. And once you have that excitement and adrenaline and making sure that you're well prepared, and then the rest just falls into place. But you mustn't let that feeling of being scared and being nervous take you the wrong way.
It always just give you T-Rex. They say in the
right.
That nerves gives you T-Rex.
That tights you up.
You can't do anything because you're so tight.
But also surround yourself with the right people. Because to me it shapes most men and women. When you look at that vulnerable stage, say some sort of standard 3 to standard 8, you have to have the right friends with you. If you don't, you can go into a left or right direction very quickly.
Yeah, peer pressure is a big thing. You just have to make sure that, you know, you speak up and you know, let people help you in that situation. Especially in this game and age, and you know, the world today, it's a bit different. So you got to make sure you got a good support staff. And I'm blessed enough to have a massive support staff. You know, my family, my mom and my dad, when I, you know, went through the ranks, you know, getting myself to trials, getting me in boots, because it's always, it was tough to get
the boots at the right time and making sure that I'm ready for trials and try to get me the hours drive and stuff like that. But yeah, my credit must go to especially myself when I speak to myself about the support stuff, because that's what gets you there. And once you're there, you're looking back and be like, geez, I need to make this because there's people, you know, that backed me, that tried to get me in this platform, and it's important for me just to make sure that you keep on going forward in that platform. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, I want to let's just switch some nerves here in direction. Listen to me. So the game of golf. Okay. Ooh. It's caught both of you.
Yeah. And very late, actually, eh?
Oh, is it very late? I want to ask about that because I can't see half. You don't go back too far on the golf side.
Yeah.
But rugby and golf does go together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the rugby players are fanatical. And what pisses me off about them is that, and you two included, is your athleticism. Your ability to transfer that into a different skill. Yeah. I must be honest, it pisses me off a little bit. You know what I mean? We are. That's okay. It's not what we do, what we do have our lives, because we have to have day jobs. We don't come out of the rich world of lives. But as Carl Brits, which we know very well, you know, the way he shapes the ball, it's a golf ball. It's like ridiculous.
Mm.
How do you guys find it?
I actually want to. I want to stop. I think he's got the assumption all of us are like that. I think it's a very small percentage that can play that well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I know. Obviously, Scala we spoke about, and Franco Mostert is also a fantastic golfer.
Okay,
really good golfer. But I think I don't want to talk for him. But
you talk for yourself. Yeah.
Okay, so, talk for myself.
Yeah.
When my golf comes in, oh my gosh, that does not look athletic.
He's got a small jab.
Does not look athletic.
You've got a good swing.
He doesn't have risk in his swing because it doesn't, you know, he doesn't go all the way.
Yeah.
Small jab, everything is just,
three
quarter, but it's effective.
Yeah.
He gets the money in the golf
course. I started playing, I think it was at Killarney.
Killarney
golf course, I broke two clubs that day.
Oh, really?
Yes, my first time that I played golf. Burton Francis invited me. He was still at the Lions. We went to Killarney, hired a pair of lefties.
I was going to say, was it rented? Did you
rented? I'm left-handed, rented a pair of lefties. Whoop, first try a tee box, snapped off the driver's head.
Expensive rental for the day.
Sorry, Killarney, but I put everything in the back quickly. And the second one, I think I had a pitching wedge or a 9-iron. But obviously the trees here, I'm a lefty. Obviously first time playing golf.
Yeah.
I swing as hard as I can. And when I follow through, so the club just wrapped around the tree in half. Boom, broke. And I was like, oh my gosh.
It shows you rugby mentality. You just run forward and come.
Yes. I got the thing.
Yeah.
I think I lost about 40 balls that day. Horrible first taste of golf.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I looked poorly as well dressed. But then that day, that monkey came on the back. And
once it bites you.
Yes,
and then it's so bad. You want to get the gear, you want everything. You want to, you know.
But don't you also like it for the chirping? I mean, that's what you guys are used to. I love it. I mean, I'm telling you, the first love for golf for me is the banter between the mates.
And we're competitive. Rugby players are competitive.
Massive.
Big
time.
And still between the two of us, but
I was just going to ask. Okay, guys, I need to ask this question. Who is running the ranking at the moment?
No, I'm going to be honest, and I must give credit where it's due. So he's taking most of the money. I do get my W's here and there.
Yeah.
But he's probably getting to semifinals, quarterfinals when it comes to the numbers.
Okay.
I would love to play more. Really. Yes, Mama's giving me some problems with golf, think a lot of us are But we play a lot, but somehow I'm staying in that same category. I'm not getting any better. I'm not getting any worse. It's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
I can 90. Eat a birdie, but I can also have two rings in a row.
Right.
And it frustrates me.
And are you, what can we reveal? What's the handicaps here?
Currently 16.3.
Okay. Yeah, I'm playing over 18.5.
Okay, so you guys are good, stable players.
Decent,
Okay, but who's the ringer? Ringer or not?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of you got ringer tendencies?
I must say, he's got the ring tendencies. Okay. I'm going to give credit because he's got, he's consistent.
You're an honest man before this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm honest, man. I don't know where this is coming from. I feel like this is a lot of work coming from.
Because I'm making my pass, you know, zigzag. He's making his pass, you know, fairway, and then in the middle. He's more consistent than me. But I've got a lot of things to work on. Yes. I don't know where my problem is. Hopefully, Arthur, one of you guys can help me.
I'm very
overswing. Because like all rugby players, you want to hit. You want to make a 4-iron, a driver, and those type of things. But I've got a couple of things.
The thing I hate about golf, guys, is that emotional. It's
spicy. Yeah, I'm a birdie so to a good, double bogey,
and then I feel so crap. And then I fixed it. And then off the tee box, ladies, I don't like the lady.
Yeah.
That roller coaster is so crazy. Mm, yeah. Like, honestly.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. You have a bad beautiful. Round. We just keep coming back. Yeah.
I love it.
We have a bad round, and then at last, you get to the 18th, and you make a par, buddy.
Exactly. And then like, what a day.
When I'm playing, boys, after when are you booking?
Yeah, tomorrow.
I need to get back here tomorrow. I fixed it. Yeah. I found my swing.
I will say, Arthur is a master at transferring a skill set. Because O'Connor, I mean, you know, you made an impact with him that day.
Big time, yeah.
At Golfers World. And Arthur is the type of guy that you should be playing with because he plays his own game, but he becomes your ultimate caddy. I mean, he would say to you, okay, there's the highway. Are you visualizing it? I want you here. I'm like, Arthur, with your skill set, okay, I can see why you can say, okay, over the green and it's going to come to the left. Just tell me where to move because I don't have that skill set to determine it. So he's incredible. So if you guys want tips, it's definitely for me.
No,
where did the golf start here?
For me, a long time, I must say it started in 2011.
Okay.
It's such a weird story. It's a long, long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's gap years in between,
justifying.
It started 2011, and, like, for years, my team has forced me, Juan, come on, let's get into the game. And, like, for years, you said, what golf? Five hours of my day or my off day and stuff like that. And then it was a Springbok camp, and I was lucky enough to have a class four ball to start it off with. It was in PE, I think it was Mood, whatever the course is called.
That is a nice course.
They needed an extra guy. So it was Jacques Fourie, it was Monestein, and Rowan Pinard. And they forced everyone, listen, you guys fill up because they needed one guy. And then I was just sitting at the hotel and I'm like, okay, guys, I'll join you guys. And then I went with, obviously, the balls. It was zigzag. It was fairways. It's tiger in the woods. It's all those type of things. But then that one or two holes I hit, one par three, boom, onto the green, you know, about 2-3 meters away. I'm like, okay, these guys talk so much. There's maybe something here. And then the couple of holes after that, same par three. It's actually, I started with the par threes. The par threes kind of hooked me in. Par threes, boom. On the green as well, made a two putt apart again. So I'm like, maybe there's something. And then on the 17th, I actually went with a golf cart into the bunker. I was driving, and then I didn't see the bunker. I went into the bunker, but that's a different story. But and then that day it was just kind of like, oh, this is kind of fun. They talk about pars. This is what a par looks like. This is what a golf shot feels like. This is how something when it's in the air, that feeling of that ball bouncing on the green. It's just like that. The bug we spoke about. It just started there. It just kick-started, and then. Yeah, 2 weeks after, I'm like, guys, when are we going again? Like, guys, the four ball is full now. The four ball is full.
And they probably like it's full.
You waste our time.
They're finding someone else in the background.
We like you, but it's full. Don't worry. Find for the next game.
That's how it is. Took me 2 months, and I found a four ball,
See.
It was good fun. It was good
I
fun.
I actually started the same year. Weirdly enough, 2011, but we were a few. I didn't start with guys that Burton was the only guy who could play. It was me, Jaco Kriel, and David Bulbring. So I played with Jaco Kriel was the same. We just started golf. I bought a bag called Tiger Sharks. I don't know if you guys
have ever heard of
that. Was my first set of golf clubs.
Wasn't this Nike?
No, Tiger Shark was
a brand on its own now.
Okay.
Terrible. I think it was like $1,000. That stuff lasted me 5 years. And I 2011, and I played Eagle Canyon. We loved at the time.
Yeah.
Difficult. I never knew I played. It was always hundreds.
Yeah.
same. I always got the call when they had to fill someone.
Yeah.
Now in hindsight,
It makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
I'm doing this now. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. At the time, I thought they wanted to spend time with me.
You guys just realized what happened there.
Yeah. I thought they wanted to spend time with me, but they were just desperate to fill up the four ball.
Yeah. It was my case as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you convinced your personality, right?
Yeah, I thought I'm a liquor guy. I'm a loving person.
Well, like, you just treated me the same way. I spoke to you yesterday and said, you guys want to join me in Skulk? And you're like, yeah.
Tiger Sharks was my first ever set.
Yeah, I was actually blessed enough because at the time, 2011, Adidas sponsored me, and then Adidas was part of TaylorMade. Mm. And then lucky enough, I got a good deal with TaylorMade, and a good percentage off. And that's I got R11s to start off.
Yo,
wow.
They gave me blades, and I'm like, I like the look of it. I know blades when you're 20 handicap is But yeah, I just kind of like the look of it. It's my red color. It's got that nice feel to it. So yeah, 12 years, partner. And then the handicap
is still the same.
12 years later, we'll be at the 5,
guys,
7,
we're going to have to talk about this. We're going to follow up in a year. I want to see, see some handicaps coming down.
My wife actually asks that question to me all the time. How do you spend so much time, so much money on golf? You never get any better. I always get over. It's like, it was tough. It was the wind, or it was this. I always get same question.
Full potential.
So much time, so much money, you never get any better at this.
I mean, if you pay all that money, you want to see the whole golf course.
We should do a different handicap system for you. Let's just show a fake app. You're getting down. See, I'm at 11 now.
It's a gentleman's game.
Listen, but I'll talk about blades, Jean. I mean, this guy burst my bubble because my ego got a bit involved. So I played with blades, I would say, until about a year ago. But he's on the golf course with me in Pretoria Country Club. And at some stage he comes to me and goes, Blazers over now for you. It's time to move on to a bit more cavity, you know? What are you saying? I'm basically a
Was it a good decision?
It was a great decision.
More pass.
But that's what I appreciate about him. He's quite straight into the line. But now I want to just ask you guys about your podcast. Because obviously, like I said earlier, and I want to remind it, it's so incredible that we get this type of support for guys like you to come through today. I mean, as we sit here, we're so conscious that you took the time to do that. And it's an incredible time to be in, but you guys started in quite a contended space. You know, golf for us is quite a unique thing on the show side. It's not massive in South Africa, in show-wise and YouTube channels. You know, we've got... Monaye from Mr. Variety, so he's also does a channel that they just play golf, talk about and film themselves. And they make it quite exciting to watch them. I would have never thought I'll spend 30 minutes with you boys at a golf course, but I do. But now you started this podcast. I just want to quote you quickly that you said you want to start this because you want to change one life, influence one person, and I completely understand that sentiment. But just talk us about your podcast journey. Why this all started.
Yeah, funny enough, it started a golf course.
No way, he's joking.
He does.
He was playing golf and he was like, yes, I think we need to give back. We can inform people a lot about, you know, about the game and stuff like that. And then,
And it's actually what he said, when he said golf is about banter.
Yeah.
And obviously the two of us. We never play with each other, first of all.
Yeah. You always want to compete.
Always against each other. Always against each other.
I love it.
Was it the Zalza?
Huh?
The Zalza, ne?
Yeah, the Zalza, I think.
We played at the Zalza, I think, one day, and we discussed, and I was like, we going at each other all the time. It's different opinions, and everything is always different.
On the podcast, big time.
I think that's the nice thing about us. We
different
never think the same.
Different personalities, different.
Different personality. We don't think the same. We see everything different. Attack, rugby, defense, life, everything, our total opposites. And somehow it's worked.
Yeah, it's worked, At first, you're kind of scared, like I said. Yeah, you're scared. You're like,
conscious.
Should we? What's the people going to say? It's too late. This comes again. So there's a lot of, like, you know... you don't want to say doubt, but it's like, should we, should we not? But we just decided, listen, let's get cracking. Let's do it. And that's what you have to do. You just, if you think about it too much, you're just going to be like, maybe it's not a good idea. So we planned it for a couple of months.
Took a long time.
And then the one day we just decided this week.
Yeah,
so 2 weeks out, we're like,
this week, I mean, we had a perfect timing of starting it just before the Rugby World Cup. So that was the whole plan, just to inform people about, you know, the Rugby World Cup, all the competitions coming up. Inform people about, not silly stuff, but for rugby players, it's massive. Like, say, it's like doping, like, you know, what type of nutrition you have to take, how do you have to treat this situation when you do get in that platform. And then also with our guests, we're trying to get that stories out of them to educate and inform our viewers, our Rakers, like we used to mention them. So it was a journey and a chapter, and we like debate about names and stuff. Yes. We had Sweet and Short, David and Goliath. We had funny stuff, eh?
We had
your name is unbelievable.
We had one page. We had the Young's page.
Yes,
but it was like okay. we had a couple of options, but it's been a lekker journey so far. I
think to back ourselves in the beginning was tough.
Mm. Yeah, it starts.
Explain that.
No, just
it's out of your comfort zone.
It's definitely. We had no clue about framing, for instance.
Yeah.
We had no clue about how to in a social media space.
Yeah.
How to get into algorithm. Let me use that for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we honestly just really wanted to be factual.
Yeah.
I think that is the most humor. Obviously, that's our thing.
We are as humans, we can never be
who we're not. Mm. I think if that makes any sense,
yeah, completely.
Because that will kind of you can't upkeep that. If you fake, you cannot keep that for years to come. Mm. So we are. What you see is what you get.
Mm.
Always the same. So we want it to be fun, humorous, but factual.
Mm.
So it would never be.
Yeah,
thumb sucking rugby.
Mm.
It will be either his or my experience, or his or my views on certain things, and that is what our show is, I think.
Yeah.
So I went through your comment sections. Dived quite deep into it.
Yes.
Because you guys now
they're shooting bullets there.
Good bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys do like 17, 18, 19, 21,000 views now in 3 days, depending on the guest, you know, because we understand that completely. But we also have a mentality that there's sometimes guests that don't have these big profiles, but we still want to tell their story because it's also who we are.
Mm.
You know, we don't mingle in high society circles. I won't talk for Arthur, but certainly myself. And the one thing I will tell you now, which I think is your single biggest thing, is your organicness.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys speak, you know, you have to understand, when you open up a super sport, and nothing against them because they've built the game, they've put a lot of money into the game, they've put incredible, but the moment it's like a corporate, you feel they're going to be scripted, you feel they're going to be, you know, sticking to a certain script, and I understand it, commercial reasons, sponsorships, you know, liabilities, I get all of that, but I think what YouTube offers is that you just speak there a little bit more organically. When you guys start your section, which you always do before the guest comes in, that's when you draw you in, because remember, even though you are high profile people, you are high profile sports people in South Africa, you still have to offer some value, you know, because everybody's time, and we always say that we really appreciate every view.
We understand that, and
they spend a lot of time with us, and then we always say, you know, what do we really offer, you know, except creating conversation with people that they could find inspiration for. Because I mean, I won't speak for Arthur, I'm just a stupid guy.
I don't know if I'm gonna wear a Manchester United jersey again. Just, since I've worn that, it's just Arthur.
So you guys are now, what is your plan with it? Because commercially it's a lot of effort.
Mm.
And I don't want to speak for you guys.
I don't want to put you on the spot either.
No. If I can shoot commercially, firstly, I think our motto when we approach you and we want to sell you behind the rack.
Mm.
Why behind the rack is good for your company.
Yeah.
I think our thing is we go above and beyond for whoever backs us.
Yeah.
Mm. We understand it's the beginning stages of our show. So whoever comes on now, we want to make sure that we do everything for them. We really go out of our way to make sure that their brand is associated with a show that is really good.
Mm.
Their brand is spoken about in the same regard as we would speak about any other brand in the world. We will go out of the way to go meet them, to interact with them, whether it's on our social media or in our personal capacity. And I think we have a show for commercial. It is, we don't sell gossip. We don't do any bad news. Yeah, we don't do negative stuff.
Yeah. So this is enough of that shit. Mm.
That is not for us. Yeah. It's not part of our makeup. It's not part of these values or part of my values.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's a space where companies can come on board and feel like comfortable.
Yeah.
Honestly. Mm. But it's draining, it's tough. It's
It is, yeah, but it's fun, man, and it's you probably see like a different view of it now, because when you were athlete, you obviously had these sponsors, Adidas and Nike, you know, all these type of sponsors. But like when you're in that bubble, you were always like, I'm so focused about the rugby. You don't give that back, that you know, that one-on-one, that extra. So we're in a different space now where we, after rugby, you get a little bit more time, but you see things a little bit different. And like you said, now, we always want to go above and beyond and give the extra and you make sure that the relationship is strong for a very long time. But I mean, sponsors, like, it comes and goes and people come and go, but it's what you leave. Yeah. It's similar to like rugby as well. When you're senior, what you leave with the youngsters. And that's how we see it. And we're blessed to have, you know, the people that's involved with us. And, we just want to put our best foot forward on the podcast for our sponsors, for our Rakers, for everyone else.
And give them really good trade value. I think that for us is really important. If you come on board with us, we want to reciprocate that in really good trade value for your company or for the Human Golf Show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course.
So we are very focused on the fact that if someone backs us, that we're going to go work extremely hard and making sure our show is really good.
Yeah.
First of all, the service, like a product.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that rugby's taught us, I think.
Yeah.
That if you're a rugby player, be good at rugby.
Yeah.
So if a company sponsors behind the rug, our show needs to be really good.
Yeah.
So that is for us the focus. Mm. And we make time and we put effort in and make sure we phone each other late night if the kids are in bed. What did we research? Did you find this? And he's so good with the creative side.
I was just going to ask,
we got a good balance. Yeah, yeah. We got a good
commercial
balance.
What is the split? Yeah.
That's exactly
the split. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, we want to do both. I mean, as long as we got like an 80-20 or 70-30 feel to it. Yeah. Obviously, sometimes when he's busy, I take that department other way around, because we've got other jobs as well. You know, he's got his stuff that he's working on. I've got my coaching stuff that I'm working on. So, it's about the balance. It's about the working relationship. And we're blessed enough that, we get things going and get things done. And the past 33 episodes, it's been good, but I like a journey.
But now, I want to ask you a hard question. 33 episodes into it, would you start it again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Big time.
Yeah. Sooner.
Sooner.
I don't know why the plan. I liked it.
Our first episode, if I watch it now, I'm like, why did I not have energy? Why was I so uptight?
Yeah. Mine and his first episode, we didn't even air it.
Yeah.
Really?
We didn't even air it. We started
that
again.
First episode, we're like, welcome to Behind the Rock.
we got Jeff the other day. We do our first club review with Cobra. And one of the guys there goes, guys, sell it to us a little bit, man. He says, you sound so depressing. We're like, were we? But it's that you go into that serious mode. You want to make sure that you deliver well for them.
It's factual, right?
Yeah.
It's factual. I'm not selling a product.
Yeah, exactly.
And telling you how amazing this product. It's factual and going through the technology and the performance.
Yes.
To get a studio, to get equipment, you kind of need sponsors and you kind of need backing from people to make it possible. Because, equipment and stuff, it takes a lot of money. To get us out there and get a service to maybe like our Rakers and your viewers as well. But it's a lekker journey, but it gives you that energy, man. Especially for us, like after rugby, for rugby every Friday you're like, we're playing tomorrow, so you got the nerves, you got the excitement.
Yeah.
And we kind of get that same now when we're shooting the podcast, that nerves building. When that producer says 3, 2, 1, let's go. That feeling. It's good. And the adrenaline to see what the product is like, especially
afterwards.
But
and then the reaction. And
how awkward are you to yourself when you saw it? Because obviously, guys, you should be, I mean, and if I say you should be, cameras was part of your
life, the whole
life, but it was from 750 meters away with a wonderful zoom-in lens.
Mm.
And yes, obviously, in between that, interviews and stuff. So you guys got somehow used to it. I mean, I saw some of your interviews. There's a lot of it, besides your own podcast now. But when you saw yourself first, because the one thing that we always say, and I tend to be, you know, in my natural life, I get quite passionate about things. But you don't want to speak, but you know you have to contribute towards something. You have to add value for the people that are listening.
Mm.
What was that like when you saw yourself whoop, in the face of a camera? Did you judge yourself quite harshly or not?
No, I won't say that because as a rugby player, as you start off, you know, 19, 20, 21, when that whole process started, it was tough, and then we had that. But now after rugby, it's like we used to it. He was a leader, I was a leader. We did a lot of like interviews and stuff, and the camera was in our face all the time. And that pressure is pretty much the same as now.
Okay.
So I must say we had a 12-year of, you know, building that, not the hardcore or that shield, but you know, building that. Yeah, okay, cool. That is how, you know, that is how you're gonna put everything together and how you get yourself across. Yeah, but I must say when I was 17, 18, like 19, 20, 21, starting as a professional rugby, making my Currie Cup, Super Rugby and Springboks, then it was like a different level.
Is it?
Then you're like you know, like, oh, hey.
Like rugby.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, it's the funny stuff, man. And you hear stories like there was like one rugby player, he played for Griekwas, and he was a lock, and then Griekwas was like nicely, they were like first or second on the lock. And he was like, so I see you nicely placed on the lock. And he said, I'm not a lock, I'm a flank. You know, those kind of moments, you see it on the TV, and you were like, okay, don't make that mistake, okay, keep yourself intact. But yeah, you kind of learn a lot throughout your journey. Bro. So we're blessed actually to have that buffer of solidness and some mental platform. To kickstart the podcast.
We actually at the Lions at the time had a program called Image Excellence. Mm-hmm. So if you sign with the Lions as a 19-year-old, on Wednesdays on your day off, you go to Image Excellence classes. And then you're in a room with a camera, and they give you a mic and they teach you how to. And my thing was always talk slower.
Okay.
And they like had to. Please talk slower.
Yes.
Drag out your questions.
Yes.
If you don't know the answer, drag out the, when you just talk very slowly and long until
it comes to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we
these guys have got way more experience.
Way more.
So we had to
get that to people. Is that all the humans?
But you guys were winning trophies playing, and you know.
And at Lions it was speaking in English. Then if someone asks you a question in English, you reply in English.
Yeah.
So that was the main things that stood out to me.
Yeah. No, I must say, I must agree. But yeah, it's lekker, man. It's a lekker journey. It's an adrenaline journey. It's something that shaped us. And
now it's a bit, if we watch the podcast, and I'm like, oh, why did I say that?
Yeah, you see. Yeah. But it's because you care, Rudy.
Yeah.
It's because you want to put the best show forward.
Mm.
And it's awkward because, you know, when you look at yourself, but it's we just know that people benefit from it.
Mm.
There's been inspiration for it. And I do believe in that. You have to create a bit of hope.
Mm.
You have to have somebody like you that says, listen, I've gone through it. Mm. There's nothing you can say to me right now that's going to surprise me. I've gone through it. And here's actually what we've learned. If we can just get the youngsters to, because we all went through it ourselves. We know the information's there. We do get the advice, but sometimes we just don't listen.
Mm.
That's the problem
for me.
That
is so true.
And then you get older and you're like, I should have listened earlier. Mm.
Damn it.
He was right.
Shouldn't have bought that car.
Yes. that's one of the big ones. Okay, so let's just quickly, I just want to quickly ask some fire questions onto you guys. Arthi, open up your thing there for me.
We must do the fire.
We're on the other side now.
Okay, the other side.
I'll start with
you
one.
You start with one, I'll get
same
one.
Golf. We all know Mulligan, ne?
Yes.
Mm. So I take a lot of those.
If you could have one moment of Mulligan in your rugby career, what would it be?
Sure.
That is. I'm not. What? For me, it's. I would say it's the 2010 Super Rugby final against
in Orlando.
Orlando.
I was there.
Yeah, that was that what was, occasion that was. That was the first time Stormers was in a final in Super Rugby. Obviously, the Bulls have won it a couple of years before that. And amazing occasion, full house, Bulls everywhere. And I played like 10, 15 minutes and I got injured. And that's maybe a moment or like you ask yourself, yes, I wish I didn't get injured to play the game and hopefully made a difference. And those type of ways. Obviously, after that, I've those moments again in finals and semi-finals and playing the Bulls again, but that's just moments when you do get into a final like a massive game like that, you just want to take full potential
you want to use the opportunity
and I just felt like I didn't And it's God's will. Something that happens sometimes. But yeah, I wish I played a little bit more and not get injured in that game and hopefully made a difference.
My mulligan is probably COVID, because I was signed at the Sunwolves in Japan.
Yeah,
if it wasn't COVID, I think I was so happy playing my rugby for that club and playing for the Sunwolves. If I could have one mulligan, that would be the thing. Playing longer for the Sunwolves and for that Japanese people.
Absolutely
love it.
Incredible nation.
Oh, absolutely love it.
Incredible nation.
Happy they treated my family with the. Oh, we were just. Yeah. It's the moment I wish I could have had for longer, and COVID interrupted it, unfortunately.
It's a lekker league. I wish I played in the Japanese league. It sounds and it looks lekker because it's more running rugby, it's more your super rugby. Where you
Storm are rugby
yeah,
now.
Yeah, URC and Premiership is more your slow down rugby. Yeah. So that's one league. So he was actually blessed enough to play Japanese league. He played for Sunwolves, he played for in France as well. So we had a good balance in terms of where we played. I played in England.
People so is outstanding.
Like
I've seen it, honestly.
The way they run that place.
People is outstanding. Yeah.
The respect.
I cannot speak more fondly about how culture. People treat you.
But you actually just have to look at the products that they own and the brands that they own. Yeah. Like Deodorant. You know, people always think it's a South African South African brand. But if you look at the products that come out of that, and I know I'm not talking more in a commercial sense, but it tells me about the culture that they have there. They incredibly, and I'll just give you a quick one, when we had the floods in KZN not so long ago, the plant of Toyota was completely, completely underwater. Like, I'm talking, guys, about you walk in there and you're up to this point in the factories. The same day it happened, they got a phone call from the family in Japan, and they said, listen, we're about to transfer whatever the amount was, rebuild the entire factory. We believe too much in this country and the people that's here. So they're incredibly loyal at what they do.
It is enough. I honestly, training sessions, they clap. They give your kids little gifts. Yeah. And they know your kids' names and your wife's name. And it's honestly simply upsetting. So that's a mulligan moment for me.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Hardest person you've run into?
Oof.
Yes, sir.
As a small rugby player, man, there's a lot.
Everyone.
No, there must be that one person when you play against him, you're like, okay, I just want to run around him and run into him.
For me, it's about, the centers, because you obviously have that one-on-one in the centers. It was always tough to play against your man, Noni Conrad Smith. Especially when it was for Hurricanes, when they played together for Hurricanes, played together for the All Blacks at that time. They were a tough combination. And like always, like center is like a combination of 12 and 13. You need to feed off each other and you need to have a combination. They had that combination. A lot of the time you had like one good 12, one good 13, but they can't gel, but they play one-on-one, like individual brilliance. But they had a combination. It was always tough. Like the day before those games, I'm only like, yeah, I'm studying, I must make sure that I'm prepared. Yeah, those two as a combination, I must say it was a handful.
Mine, I'm fighting between Jakub Kriel and Nomani Nadolo, but I'm going to lean towards Nadolo, who played for the Crusaders at the time. And yeah, tackling him and holding on to one of those trunks. Looked like a tight head prop, runs like a winger. He's got the skills of a center, but
130 kg.
He's
looked at me at the line out and I was like, I've got no clue, I'm gonna tackle. I was defending at 9 and he was in my channel.
A bit of a Jonah Loma situation.
And luckily I had Pollard at the time that could help me, but he was by far the most daunting, toughest guy I had to tackle. He was like a building, he was massive.
Yeah, he's massive.
Could not believe the size of the man.
Listen, and just from both of you as well, favorite club? But in your favorite shot or club, iron, putter, what's your
driver
for you? Driver for you. What do you play on the driver?
Distance wise.
Yeah. No,
on brand.
Brand. I've got my Cobra set for 6 years now.
Two drivers in a bag.
The bio shell I got.
Is that legal? Let's just double check.
That's a question. I don't know how many clubs get in a bag.
It's just either I put it in my golf bag or I leave it at home and I'm throwing it away. So I put it in my golf bag rather.
Okay, fine. We understand.
I think I've got the bio shell, but that is a few years ago, Cobra one.
Cabman's got great drivers. It's a good Ranger as well, that, eh?
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, it's old.
About time we look at your stuff, I think.
Yeah. Very old clubs, but the BioCell in the bag, that's my favourite one.
So if any club OEMs are listening to this right now, these two wonderful content creators with incredible credibility are looking. Your opportunity is now to strike.
No, his driving ability is beautiful. I wish I had it. Because I'm more of a ching-ching-ching spray guy.
Your putter.
But what is yours? Your putter?
Putter, I like putting.
That's the most
For some reason, I got a
feel to it. You guys opposite wallet. You guys fit in.
Yeah.
If he's 100 meters out from the green, he is phenomenal. Honestly.
I would say in and around the green, I'm not too bad. But putting, I like putting for some reason. Huh?
Humble putter.
No, okay. Something on the most chest.
Look, he can putt. He's broken my heart a few times when he shouldn't be sinking the putt.
Yes.
And it happens. So he's not luck anymore. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah. That's very tough to say. The driver is the confidence in my driver is that there's nothing.
Yeah.
So I went for my driver, now my 3-wood, and now with my hybrid. Now sometimes my nerves is got the 4-iron off the tee. So there's something I need to work on, is just getting off the tee.
I feel much better. Professionals even go through those moments of confidence. Okay, that's 4-iron.
Yeah.
That's 4-iron. And I mean, with your mentality, it just shows you the game, because you guys have far more experience than, let's say, the average person on the street when it comes to mental capacity, mental strength, and all of that. Your 4-ball, you're going to make up a 4-ball. Tomorrow, from your perspective, whoever's ready first, what would that 4-ball or 3-ball look like?
Are we talking rugby players? Are we talking?
I had it sort of to lean towards that, but I'm saying it's open.
It's open.
It's open. Okay.
It can be a Michael Jordan. It can be anyone.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. For me, there's a couple I would like to play with Tiger. You know, Tiger has to be one.
It must be one.
Just to see these YouTube videos live, you know. So Tiger's Dev's one.
Yes,
and then I think if The Rock could play, he's in there as well.
Oh, is it? That
yeah, The Rock.
Fan,
would, yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, he's a hard worker, a family
incredible. Man. And also, he just did an incredible thing from the guy from Zimbabwe. Oh, my word. The fight.
Oh,
And I mean, what is that? He saw him lie on the couch, you know. And I mean, that determination. You know, when Drika says, only us know, but you're a Vietnam, I always feel in those moments,
So those two are deaths. Tiger Woods is to see and feel what he does, how he does it. The Rock to get his mentality of life and how he is being so successful. I think Kevin Hart as well, just to make sure the 4-ball is balanced.
I can't
be too serious. I need Kevin Hart there. So if they play well, The Rock and Tiger, me and Kevin give me like, hey, mate.
One for ice bar.
So that would be my 4-ball, because Kevin can cheer up The Rock because they close as well. So
that would be pretty cool.
That's a good 4-ball. I mean, that's completely what we've never heard. Well done.
I'll probably go with Tom Brady first.
Okay. You're a fan.
Big fan.
Just
Massive. I'm an NFL. Just love to spend time with him, and I know he's not great at golf.
But
he's a lover of golf.
Tom Brady's good at golf.
I hear what you're saying. And because remember, now he's now retired, so he's going to put a lot more time into this. But I can immediately see him and Michael Jordan are doing bets and certain things that are just out of there.
Good stuff for me.
So Tom Brady will be there. Kevin Hart is obviously my celebrity. If I have. If there's a dinner or something that I win with, it will be Kevin Hart. So
that's that to your personality.
But I would want to play against him.
If I can play with me, I would
love to play against him.
Yeah.
So it's Tom Brady, Kevin Hart, myself, and I will go with, this is going to be a difficult one. The third spot.
Not Juan Dion.
No. I'm trying to think of a rugby player.
That's okay.
No, I actually...
It's a three ball.
I'm going to put in David Bulbring. He's a lock. He played at the Lions.
Okay, exactly.
David Buller.
Why him?
It's one of my best friends.
He's one of my best friends.
He introduced me to the game of golf. Okay. We haven't seen each other in a long time, so he will definitely be my partner.
Yes.
He understands who I am. He knows how to work with me.
Yes.
So he will be my David Buller. That will be my. One of my best friends against the two people I would love to meet in my life.
Well, guys, I thank you for sharing all of that with us. And like, you guys should know, know the sentiment. It feels like sometimes these conversations we can just carry on for another hour. And I'm sure you feel it in your podcast. And we always we respect the viewers, you know, and, we, and sometimes they're not always in the mood to listen to our but I want to just say to you guys once again that this is... When Arthur and I, when you guys speak about your guests come on board and you get inspiration from it, this morning was honestly a, because I'm a bit of a chunker myself, really. And this morning when I was quiet with God this morning in prayers, and I just said to him that how phenomenal it is that we have the opportunity to get inspired by you guys today. So I'm exceptionally grateful for your time today. We know that you have incredibly busy schedules. You've got so much going on in Joburg at the moment.
Yeah.
And I also want to just ask everybody to please go and support and watch your show.
Thank you so much.
And it's so organic. And at night when we sit and we watch all these Netflix, take a bit of time to watch the local guys and how they speak, the people they bring on.
Yeah.
I mean, when I listen to Sia and
Dion
Ferry.
Yeah.
I mean, Dion Ferry, everybody, go look at the comments. How many people draw so much from it, the humbleness, the guy that he is. And even that type of stuff, it just motivates us. So you guys are absolute inspirations to us. And dankie vir julle hier môre op die show. Dankie vir julle is so organies elke liewe dag. Honestly, julle, ek is altyd die ou wat 'n bietjie emosioneel raak oor hierdie goeders. Maar ons waardeer julle tyd verskriklik.
Ja, ons waardeer dit ook, because obviously when you're in the podcast, you kind of look at other podcasts and you know, as a golf fan, I really enjoy your guys' content as well. Really appreciate you making the time. We're all busy, but in life it's about not having the time, it's about making the time. And we'll always make time for you guys on your podcast when you're in Cape Town. Come on, okay. But we'll be lekker, it's always good to bounce off each other, you know, sharing ideas, sharing information and educate each other, because I enjoy it when I have a guest on and, you know, learn. I actually learn from my guest as well.
Yeah,
my
so
teammate,
much.
His ex-teammate, but you kind of learn a lot from them as well. So we really appreciate it. Hopefully you can teach me one or two things for the driver.
Love to.
Yeah, but we appreciate, you know, for you guys inviting us to the show.
My dad told me something that I love. And I think what I got here is you guys are lekker mensen. You guys have a passion for what you do. You guys love your sport. And I think thank you for having us. Honestly, we simple human beings. We just want to have a good time and meet people and meet the really good human beings. So thanks, guys, man.
Honestly, well, I just want to say to you guys, this Bali is going to outdrive all of you. Okay? And it's my single biggest mission. Yeah. And I definitely don't want to play with you guys. I want to chirp you guys. You are the perfect you want to be the chirping partners. And when you sometimes listen to South African four balls, you would think they hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had people at Kyle Army, and it wasn't too recently that we lost our and the people are like, what is going on here? No, they're my best mates. What do you mean?
Yeah.
But how can you speak to each other like that? What do you mean? That's our love language. If I phone him up this morning normally and call him on his normal name, he's going to go,
what's wrong?
Okay, what's going on?
What's going on? why are you trying to catch us? The last thing I just wanted to ask before Arthur can finish for us is that just give me a quick shout out to your sponsors, because they are incredibly important. Is there anybody that you want to thank from your side that we can tag into this post?
Oh, definitely. I think we have a new sponsor that came on board.
Yeah, just in the last episode.
Actually, Kruger International, the asset and wealth management company.
So they've come
on board and backed us. They believe in who we are as just the two of us.
Okay.
And obviously, we've got what we call the Aussies.
Lulabet.
A betting company.
Yeah.
And they were there from the beginning.
Is that your fantasy?
No.
Okay.
No, but they were there from the beginning.
From day one, the OG.
We've got so much love and gratitude for them, because we obviously know expenses is a reality. And they've come on board at the right time. And
at the start of things, when everyone was uncertain what's going to happen and where we're going to go with it, and for them to back us and, you know, putting the lights on and just making sure that we kind of going forward and breaking even and all those type of things, that's just appreciation for them. And to have, you know, Kruger International Asset and Wealth Management with us as well, backing us, it just shows, like, listen, yeah, okay, we're growing and there's people that's backing us and we just want to show appreciation for that. Yeah. And we had sponsors like Rooibos Men, Skincare. We had small sponsors coming in and out, like Prime Cleaning Services. But yeah, once you have that sponsors, we hope and we did enough for them to give back what they wanted from it, added value from it. And then, yeah, we just want to say thank you to all those sponsors. If it's an episode sponsor or a sponsor that's been there for a long time, we got appreciation for all of them.
Mm. You know, I want to say to the commercial guys that can get involved financially in these things, when you choose somebody in rugby at a young age, when you identify them, the stats that they have is very little to go on. You need to back the people.
Mm.
And they need to look at who you guys are.
Correct.
And know, listen, bro, you on it now? Because we are going places. Mm. We are going to make the traction that we were. Determined people that have in their life shown, I don't sit on the side and wait for things to happen. I'm going to make happen. And once you invest it into this, so back the people rather than the potential and the stats or the data.
Yeah.
Because I must be honest, once they ask for data and stats, my personal opinion is it's not going to work so well.
Mm.
Because then they don't understand what they're buying into.
Mm.
You know, and in 3 years from now, that commercial capacity could be incredibly good for them.
Mm.
But they have to back organic people because good brands in a non-organic setting gets diluted and it's worse off for them, in my opinion. So nowadays, you don't back product and all of that. You back the people that's behind it.
I like it.
And that's what they should be doing.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Listen, Skalk is phoning me nonstop. I'm just talking. I'm just joking. giving me opportunity to speak. But guys, thank you so much. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Looked up to you as a Stormer supporter. At least we support the same Man United. Two things in common. Golf and Man United.
Yeah.
I'm in Cape Town before Easter, during Easter, and after Easter. Maybe we have a round, a little fate straight.
Definitely.
You have way too many rounds for the army, so you better make sure
fly down to Cape Town and then we've got a tournament. Human Golf Show versus Behind the Rock.
That's going to be interesting. Oh, listen, I can predetermine the outcome.
I'm going to win yet, but we'll find a way to win.
They've got 40. They're starting 40 shots ahead of me.
We'll take an advantage.
Listen, your handicap is too low. You add no value.
I make birdies.
At 8-7 handicap, you would add a lot of value. But at your plus ones and plus two, Arthur, seriously.
I'm going to make sure the handicap goes up now after this afternoon round. But it was very cool. I love what you guys do. Awesome people. Nice to meet you. Nice to chat to you. And today was super fun.
So gedwonge geïnspireerd deur julle en ek weet dat almal wat gaan luister nou dit gaan presies dieselfde voel. Dankie vir alles wat julle doen, dankie vir die teruggee op die oomblik. En regtig ons dankie dat julle hiernatoe gekom het vandag. Dis vir ons 'n moerse eer om dit te gedoen het. Want ek meen, ek sê vir Arthur vanoggend, hierdie twee chomps, jy weet, hy is 'n bietjie meer credible in sy lewe. Jy weet, ek's 'n regte ou chomp hierso. So ons waardeer dat julle en dis hoekom ek hom altyd insit. Sê ek, hy is 'n credible ou, jy weet. Maar baie dankie vir alles
en ons
sien met soveel lande oor alles wat julle doen, hoor.
Selfs vir julle sou, yes, may you guys grow.
Dankie,
really, thank you. Honestly, I think we, the two of us, was verstaan, was in dieselfde bootjie. Consistency is vir ons die ding wat ons dryf. It's not, consistency is the one thing that it's rugby, golf, everything. If you're consistent, if you're a good person, consistently, that is who you are.
Yeah. Correct.
If the show is consistent, then that is who you're going to be.
So please go like and subscribe to them. You'll put them in the handles and all of that.
Yes.
And on Sunday, we're shooting our next episode with them as well, so I'm quite not with them. We'll be completely behind the scenes. But bless you guys, and thank you once again from my side.
Awesome.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.